We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
On the phone with me for this segment, I have Chris Moscovitas. He is a cybersecurity expert and author of the book Cybersecurity Program Development for Business. Thank you for joining me today, Chris. Appreciate the time.
Well, thank you, Stephen. I'm very happy to be on.
We seem to be faced with new cybersecurity threats each and every day. Where do we stand in protecting our computers, our personal computers? How good a job are we doing, or how bad a job are we doing?
We are failing miserably, Steve. We are just not doing a good job at all. And it's not just our personal computers, it's our business computers, and it's also part of the computers that run our country and our critical infrastructure. So we are not doing well at all.
Okay, let me back up here a bit. What is your actual background in cybersecurity?
I am cybersecurity certified by ISACA, and I've run a technology company for the past 30 years, and we have done a lot of work in cybersecurity even before the term was popular. So in the process of doing all this kind of work, one of the things that we realized early on is that cybersecurity is very different than technology, and that's a common mistake. People confuse cybersecurity as being a technology issue, and it's not a technology issue. It is a people issue, and very specifically, it's a risk management issue.
Now, how well are we doing protecting our cities and major institutions against hackers?
Well, it is, again, it's the same answer as with our computers in our business and in our government. We are not doing a particularly good job, and to some degree this has to do with ignorance. To some degree it has to do by the fact that we're playing defense. Whenever you're playing defense, it is by default a reactionary position, no matter how well you think you're defending your castle. An attacker always has the advantage of waiting you out, preparing, looking for vulnerabilities, trying different things, trying to find the one hole you didn't plug. So by continuously playing defense, unfortunately, we are at a disadvantage, and hackers always will find another way in. What's important for us to recognize is we need to understand this reality, we need to prepare the best way possible, and most importantly, we need to have an aware and engaged population, be it in business, be it in our own family, be it by our elected representatives and the people that work in our government.
As far as cybersecurity threats go, what is your worst nightmare about what might happen?
Well, my worst nightmare is loss of life, without a doubt. So an attack to any kind of life-critical infrastructure could cause loss of life, such as air traffic control, such as the electrical grid. We had repeated attacks by the Russians to the Ukrainian state, and that caused failure of the electrical grid. We do not know if that failure caused loss of life, but so far we seem to have dodged that bullet, certainly in the United States. But that's the worst nightmare, the nightmare of loss of life.
What do we need to do better in regards to cybersecurity?
The first thing we need to do is we need to engage in a conversation. And in order to engage in a conversation, we need to develop a common language. So we need to understand what it is we're talking about. We need to understand what cybersecurity is about, that it is about risk and how we manage this risk. Cybersecurity problems will never go away, just as risk never goes to zero. So we need to understand what the risk is, and we need to take prudent and business-appropriate or government-appropriate measures against that risk.
Now, that's your worst scenario, but what is a more likely type of scenario that you see may happen as far as a likely threat?
In business, the most likely event is the continued attacks against ransomware or intellectual property or data exfiltration one way or another. Let me get your data either to extort you or because I can resell this data and I can make money on that. So that is typically organized crime kind of an attack. When we're dealing with the governmental installations and the like, you're either dealing with nation-state attacks or you're dealing with terrorist attacks. And those can be particularly scary because they could be either ideologically motivated or straight out cyber warfare.
Why is it so difficult to protect our computer systems and computer networks?
Both computers and computer networks are extraordinarily complex. We have become so complacent about the everyday use of technology that we have lost contact with the fact that all aspects of information technology are extraordinarily complex pieces of equipment, both at the hardware level and at the software level. We now walk around our daily life carrying, you know, smartphones with us that have hundreds of times the computing power that took the Apollo astronauts to the moon and back. Yet we think nothing of it. And if the phone so much as sneezes the wrong way, we toss it aside and buy a new one. So this commoditization of technology and this expectation that technology will work continuously and will work so flawlessly is a fantasy. These are very, very complicated systems. Millions of lines of complex code run them. And whenever you're dealing with code and with such complex systems, there is always going to be a vulnerability. This is the vulnerability that hackers exploit. They go in, they take control of the systems, and the rest is history.
So tell us, what does a bad cybersecurity system look like?
A bad cybersecurity system is a system that you pay lip service to. It's sort of like a checklist. Okay, it is a business executive that's not engaged with this to understand the risk and say, okay, whatever. Just give me a checklist of 10 things to do to be protected and then go away. But that's not how you manage risk. That's not how you manage a business, for that matter. You need to get engaged, understand what the issue is, and then live into a cybersecure environment, because day to day, cybersecurity changes, just as information technology changes, and for the matter, as your business change, and so is your life changing with the different introductions of technologies all the time. And one of the things that also keeps me up at night, of course, is the protection of our children.
Okay, we've been talking about a bad cybersecurity system. On the other hand, what does a good cybersecurity system look like?
A good cybersecurity system looks like a program. It is something where we all sit around the table and say, okay, what are we trying to protect? Step one, identify what the assets are that we're trying to protect. Then we look at these assets and say, what is at risk here? What exactly is at risk? Where is this risk coming from? What are the steps that we need to do to protect these assets from these different risks? And then you develop a defense in depth scenario, and you deploy controls in depth in order to be able to protect these different assets. And not two businesses are going to be the same, just like not two households are going to be the same. My household has no children. You have three children. You will have different considerations about how to set up your own personal network than I do. And certainly my business is different than yours, and so on and so forth. So it takes a conversation. It takes a conversation between, and most certainly a buy-in and support by the chief executive branch to go on and understand what the issues are, develop the right program, and then roll it out, and then live into this program every day. Make sure that the employees are engaged, make sure that they understand, continuously supply awareness, and so on and so forth. That is what a good cybersecurity looks like.
Now, do you have any idea on how much money hackers have cost businesses throughout the United States?
It is certainly in the billions of dollars worth of damages.
As we fix some of our current cybersecurity problems, it seems that hackers just find new ways to exploit them. Are we doomed to repeat this process over and over?
Well, you use the word doom. I use the word living into something. So we are living into a new environment where technologies and tools have evolved to such a state that we need to be particularly careful with its use and also understand what we're doing. For example, let's consider seatbelts. We are now in cybersecurity where we used to be with seatbelts in the 1970s. They were mandated. People were upset about the fact that they were mandated. The car manufacturers were resenting the fact that we have to supply seatbelts and it's going to drive the cost up. And people were saying, well, you're interfering with my personal liberty. I want to drive, with no seatbelt, and I have the right to go through the windshield. Well, the fact of the matter is that this is where we are right now with cybersecurity. Just as now you don't even think about getting in a car and not immediately clipping on your seatbelt, we need to be in the same place with cybersecurity. You don't think about running a business or running your own personal phone or your own home network without thinking about protection, encryption, and defenses against intrusion.
Now, if you can make three changes to the law, the corporate policy, or even individual behavior to fix cybersecurity, what would those recommendations be?
The first thing that I would do on the international stage is sit down with all of our allies and develop a treaty that protects us from runaway cyber warfare. Spying is as long as humanity is, as old as humanity is, I'm sorry. Nevertheless, we have treaties in place that protect us from the use of nuclear weapons, the use of chemical weapons, and so on and so forth. We need treaties to protect us at the international stage against the use of cyber warfare. Then the second thing that I would do, and it's already being done to various degrees, certainly in the EU you have GDPR, which is the General Data Protection Regulation that protects privacy and sets certain guidelines. We need to mandate a set of privacy guidelines and a set of minimum cybersecurity standards that businesses need to follow. And we need to do that on the same kind of argument that we mandated safety belts. You cannot be having data of the public or of your clients without exercising due care on that data by applying at a minimum set of cybersecurity controls.
Now, most businesses are small businesses, and they may not have a lot of money to spend on cybersecurity. At what point does it actually become feasible for them to do so?
It is at the same exact point where would you ever consider buying any car, from the smallest tiny little car to the most luxurious limo. Would you ever consider getting in one without a safety belt? The answer is no. So no matter what size businesses you're running, even if you're a sole practitioner, you must think about cybersecurity, how you're going to protect yourself and how you're going to protect the people that you're interacting with. And incidentally, sooner rather than later, you will see that clients of any size business will start querying their business partners about what are you doing to protect my data? What are you doing in terms of cybersecurity? How do I know that when I partner with you, even if you are a sole practitioner, attorney, accountant, whatever you may be, my data is going to be protected? I need to make sure about that.
Okay, now how can a business be sure that they're buying the appropriate cybersecurity system for their individual operation?
That is a very difficult question, and you are right to ask it. There are hundreds and hundreds of different solutions, and that is the part where some degree of education from the people getting engaged in the conversation is necessary, and something that I certainly hope my book accomplishes. And then partnering with a trusted resource. You need to partner. At the end of the day, you will need to partner with a trusted resource. The same way that you partner with your attorney, the same way you partner with your accountant, the same way you partner with your doctor, you need to partner with a trusted cybersecurity consultant to guide you through this maze, because there are many, many different solutions. Vendor promise the moon and the stars and the sun and the sky with it. And the fact of the matter is you need what is an appropriate, pragmatic solution for your specific environment.
Okay, very good. Chris, where can we find a copy of your book?
You can find a copy of my book at Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, and wherever fine books are being sold.
And give us the title of that book once again.
The title of the book is Cybersecurity Program Development for Business, The Essential Planning Guide. It's published by Wiley, and it is available now everywhere.
Okay, very good. Is there anything you'd like to, as we close, is there anything you'd like to add that you think we should know about cybersecurity?
The only thing that I would like to add is my wish for all of us to become sensitized to the problem, not avoid this clear and present danger in our lives and in our businesses, and engage in a constructive dialogue about how we need to address this problem going forward.
Okay, Chris Moscovita, cybersecurity expert and author of the book Cybersecurity Program Development for Business. Thanks once again for joining me today, Chris. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.